presents I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, which this week comes to you from the Palace Theatre in the historic town of Watford. As early as the 9th century BC, the Catalonian king Wilfrid came upon a site by a water crossing where he laid down the foundations of a new city that was to become the envy of the Holy Roman Empire. With its ancient covered market, Romanesque brick towers, Baroque cathedral and fine collection of Renaissance paintings, there are few things finer than to spend the day browsing amidst its remarkable Gothic splendor. A legacy we owe to the vision of that great King Wilfrid of Catalonia. What a pity he never visited Watford. Instead, please welcome on my left Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor. And finally, please welcome a delightful lady whose job it is to get the team's points up as fast as possible. Our scorer, Samantha. Our first round is entitled Missed Hits. It's often occurred to me that otherwise first-rate programs, plays, books and films have often sunk without trace for want of a decent title. Teams, I'd like you please to come up with some interesting suggestions for me. And when you've done that, think up some titles that would have been... titles that would have been surefire number one smash failures. Tim, would you start, please?
1983. Shallow Gravy.
Barry.
Spot, that's the failed grease.
Willie.
And God Created Mrs. Bottomley. Indiana Jones and the Stuffed Panda.
That sounds rather good.
I like it. Graham.
Death Date.
And 24 Hours from Tulse Hill.
Oh, like the Guns of Neasden. Quite a new one. It is Dumb and Gummer.
Killing of Eddie George.
And Dodo Watch.
There was a very famous failed song, Trouble Over Bridgewater.
Any more?
Famous Five Get Pissed.
I'd go and see that.
Yeah.
Now it's time for a musical round in which our teams can exhibit their skill and showmanship to the full by getting their mouths around something unfamiliar. It's a game called One Song to the Tune of Another, in which, as the title might suggest, the teams take it in turns to sing one song to the tune of another. This is not to be confused with the equally popular One Tune to the Song of Another, in which, while another person sings, the teams take it in turns to suck on a mentholated lozenge. To provide the piano accompaniment, here's Colin Sell. Incidentally, Colin tells me he's been commissioned to write a lute concerto. If all goes well, Exchange and Mart might want one as well. Graham, we're going to start with you. Will you please sing the words of Stand By Me to the tune of the Hokey Cokey?
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, as long as you stand by me. Hey! Stand by me. Darling, darling, stand by me.
Jolly good. Now, Barry, will you sing the words of I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts to the tune of Fly Me to the Moon?
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts, and they are standing in a row. Big ones, small ones, some as big as your head. Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist. That's what the showman said. Got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Every ball you throw will make me rich. There stands your wife, the idol of my life, singing roll a ball a ball, a penny a pitch, singing roll a ball a ball, a penny a pitch, singing roll a ball a ball, a penny a pitch.
Tim, will you please sing the words of On Mother Kelly's Doorstep to the tune of Hernando's Hideaway?
On Mother Kelly's doorstep, down Paradise Row, I'd sit along on Nellie, she'd sit along on Joe. She'd got a little hole in her frock. No lay in her shoe, hole in her sock where her toe peeped through. But Nellie was the smartest down our alley. No lay on Mother Kelly's doorstep. I'm wondering now if little girl remembers Joe her beau, and does she love me like she used to. Mother Kelly's doorstep down Paradise Row. Oh, lay.
And finally, Willie, will you sing the words of Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive to the tune of the Blue Danube?
All right, now go, walk out the door. Just turn around now, 'cause you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye? Hi, hi. Did you think I'd crumble? Do you think I'd lay down and die? Oh, no, not I. I will survive. Oh, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll...
Oh. Our next round is based on the TV program called Through the Keyhole, but modified to make it suitable for wireless transmission. In our game, the teams will enter the homes of well-known people and give clues as to their identity to both entertain and inform the audience. But that's not the only way it differs from the original. We're playing the historical version of the game, where the homes belong to famous people from the past. Backstage, the Palace Theatre have specially modified two mystery cubicles to resemble precisely the homes of certain historical personalities. And the team should take it in turn to describe the contents of their cubicle for the other team to guess. Right, Tim and Willie, you're going to go first, and I'd like you to enter your mystery cubicle now. Take care to knock first, as the lock's broken and there might be somebody in there already. While you're on your way, the historical householder's name will now be flashed up on the computer-linked, satellite-controlled laser display board for the benefit of our... Well, here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
King Henry VIII. King Henry VIII.
Okay, Tim and Willie, have you entered your cubicle yet?
Yes.
Will you start describing what you see?
Well... Here we are, in the great hall, the umbrella stand full of elephant's feet and tennis rackets.
Are there many suits of armor, some with enormous cuff pieces?
And climbing the stairs, now we see great stag's heads, 8 boar's heads, 2 moose heads, and could those be the Nolan sisters?
We enter the bedroom and we see a fine half-timbered bed, heavily reinforced. Who lives here? Is it a womanizing tennis pro like Martina Navratilova? Over to you, David.
Hump's the name. Right, Barry and Graham, would you like to start guessing now?
Is this tennis in the sense of real tennis?
No.
Yes.
Then I've no idea. A half-timbered bed. Is this a Tudor?
Yes, sir.
Hurry up, it's I should tell the...
should tell the audience you can applaud if they're getting warm.
Henry the Eighth.
Henry the Eighth.
It's your turn, Barry and Graham, to leave the room. Thank God. Would you please enter your mystery cubicle now? And here again is the laser display board with the answer and the mystery voice for listeners at home.
King Ethelred, the Unready. King Ethelred, the Unready.
Hello.
Hello, are you there?
Yeah. Right mess it is, too.
Tim and Willie, you've got to be ready to guess. Okay, carry on.
He must have forgotten we were coming, I think.
Left in a hurry.
Yeah.
Oh, look, he forgot to wind up his alarm clock that he slept in. Yeah.
One shot, one shoe. Oh, the shopping list he's left behind here.
Well, he'll miss that when he gets to Tesco, won't he? Here's his fridge. Look, he's run out of milk, of course.
Yeah.
And what's this note on the front of it? Collect crown from cleaners.
Yeah.
Tim and Willie, start guessing.
It's either Jimmy Nail... or Quentin Crisp on one leg. There is a one-leggedness here.
Yes.
Leg is a bit misleading, I think.
So he left in a hurry. So he's a mess. He rushed out and...
And he's royal.
Is he royal?
Yes. Yes.
Was he king? Can we ask that?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what gave me that clue.
You just had to roam through the various kings of England, that's
Willy,
all.
Willy, Harry, Steve,
Harry, Dick, John, Harry, three.
You're late now.
No. Oh, earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, Ethel.
Oh,
Ethel.
Red. Red. Yeah.
Always on the blur in photographs, shouting, wasn't ready.
Sorry.
Yeah. Now it's time for the next round, which is called Word for Word. In it... team members must take it in turns to say a word that's completely and utterly unconnected from the last. So, for example, if Lloyd Webber is followed by talented... that would be perfectly all right. The opposing team should challenge if they notice a connection. Okay, Willie, will you start, please?
Cupboard.
Tongue.
Booth.
Pliers.
Exit.
Bellows.
Face.
Mausoleum.
Challenge from Barry.
We're at home. We keep tongue in the cupboard. I thought I'd better strike quickly while the iron was hot.
We don't need to hear about your private life, though, do we? I'd like to give your cupboard a good tonguing. No.
That was a ludicrous challenge. So will you carry on, Barry?
Tankard. Survivor.
Wade.
Challenge there from Tim.
I don't survive unless I have a tankard of good ale. I can't remember what the local Watford one is, but if I could, I'd say it. What is it? Benskins. Is a very, very fine drop in a tankard. I can survive on that.
Don't say it too loud, and I may send you some.
Can't be too much for me of the Benskins.
I'm going to overrule that challenge and ask you to carry on, Graham.
Unready.
Challenge from Tim.
Benskins is always ready. and I'm always ready for a basket.
Carry on, Graham, please.
Pencil. Lead.
How do you spell lead?
L-E-A-D.
Oh, lead.
Lead. Banjo. Pluck. Chicken. Chow mein. Special.
Multiple. Multiple challenge from Tim.
I buzzed a long time ago and I've forgotten what. I don't think you pressed your little, whatever you call it.
Are you blaming the chairman for
certainly not
having duff equipment?
Adjudication, please.
We're going to go on now to a game. It's called Name That Toupee. In which I shall ask team members to identify by touch alone the owners of an assortment of celebrity hair pieces. Incidentally, it should be noted that our teams have few problems in this department. Graham, in particular, has a thick, luxurious thatch. Unfortunately, it's on top of his cottage in Cumbria. Now, team Samantha has carefully secreted the mystery toupees in this carrier bag. So, taking utmost care not to use any other sense than touch alone, I'd like you please, teams, to name that toupee. And we'll start with you, Barry.
Green 34. Oh, no, that's the rabbit. Oh, I know this one. Wait a minute, just by touch alone here. This is Charlton Heston's. It's red and parted in the middle.
Are you under the impression you were right that time?
Never.
Okay, great.
I was ahead in this one still. I don't know. This is feels like. No, I think it's a radio toupee. Am I right?
Yes.
A radio toupee. Jimmy? Jimmy? Jimmy to you?
Oh, yes.
Hey, just.
Still got the headphones on.
You're only allowed to touch.
Well, we'll go for Jimmy Young.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
We should have called this I'm Sorry I Haven't the Glue, shouldn't
we? Tim. What do you think?
Jimmy Young. It bit me. Right at the bottom here is Yul Brynner. It's not somebody standing on their head, is it? Claire Rayner. Only a guess.
Quite right. This next round is called Sequels, and it's limited only by the power of our team's imaginations. Could be one of the quickest ever. As lovers of the arts will have noticed, it's currently the vogue for modern authors to create sequels to classic pieces of literature from the pens of our great writers. I'd like you please, teams, to suggest some extracts from possible sequels to classic works of literature by new authors. And you're going to start, Willie, and I'd like you to suggest some extracts from a sequel to Moby Dick, as written by Raymond Chandler.
When I came round, I was lying face down on the beach at Santa Barbara. Then I heard a voice. I'm looking for a private dick, she said. I looked up. She was beautiful. Her body shimmered like fish skin. She had lips like Andrew Lloyd Webber and gills like Prince Charles. This wasn't surprising. She was a herring. I'm a dick, I gasped. Moby Dick, too. Is that a gun under your jacket, she said, or you're just pleased to see me? That's Gregory Peck, I said. I
I haven't been able to shake him off since the end of Moby Dick 1. He laughed like whitebait tap dancing on a bed of wet lettuce. I was in love and several sizes too big for her.
Your turn, Tim, now, and I'd like you please to suggest a sequel to the Book of Exodus as compiled by Wisden.
Wisden would be looking back over the previous season. The season started quite well with preparations for the overseas trip. The first test was spoilt by bad light and locusts. In the second test, the players were asked to play on through frogs and boils, but finally had to come off after a particular vicious attack of murrain on the beasts. The experiment of extending 5-day tests to 40 days and 40 nights demanded by Pharaoh Rupert's Earth and Sky Sports was not a huge success. The county captains declared the experiment with Moses' new rules had been successful, but suggested that the one about adultery should be chiseled up the next season and replaced with "Thou shalt not tamper with the balls." Moses, once again, was voted man of the match and the season. Man of.
Right, it's you now, Barry. Would you please provide us with some likely extracts from Winnie the Pooh's sequel, as written by Michael Winner?
Well, it's an absolutely natural choice, because I'm known affectionately in the profession as Winnie the Pooh, and... In my film, Pooh Sticks 2, Massacre, Winnie and Trigger, played by Charles Bronson, go to a restaurant and the doorman doesn't recognize them, so they waste it. And they go inside and the manager puts them in a table by the window, which is, of course, social death. And they then gang rape the staff with coffee and mints to follow. Do you want a quote on anything?
Finally, Graham, would you supply us, please, with some extracts from Murray Walker's sequel to A Tale of Two Cities?
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Sydney Carton heads for the final straight leading to the guillotine, which you will remember is the controversial new device introduced this season for literally twisting the feet off the aristocrats as they... Correction. I am reminded that it actually cuts the heads off and...
It goes on like this forever.
It's now time for a round entitled Just a Minim. We base it on an old Wireless favourite where panellists talk non-stop nonsense while the others try to butt in. But any questions was a bit of a boring title, so we changed it. In this round, teams, you should attempt to sing a song without repetition, hesitation, repetition, roar, pindy, or deviation. Non-singers may buzz to challenge. Please bear in mind, teams, that an excessive number of buzzes may drown out the piano accompaniment of Colin Sell. Actually, Colin was telling me before the show that he just completed a series of nationwide performances. This week, however, he's back on his usual pitch outside Bradford and Bingley. Right. I'd like you please, Graham, to start, and the song is When the Red, Red Robin Comes Bob, Bob, Bobbing Along.
When the red scarlet robin comes bob, shilling, bobbing along, ditto, there'll be no more sobbing.
Challenge from Willie.
Ditto isn't very good, you know.
What's wrong with it?
It just doesn't mean along.
I agree with Willie on this one.
Well, I don't. Carry on, Graham.
And where does Robert Robinson come into it anyway?
Sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Wake up, ditto, you sleepyhead.
Challenge from Tim.
A repetition of ditto.
We have had ditto previously.
You pick up the song, Tim. Where from?
Get up, get out of bed.
Who else do you?
Get up. Rise. Leap off your couch. Cheer up. Smile, for God's sake. The sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through. Feel.
Oh, we've got miles in go now.
We make less, but still I listen for hours and minutes. I'm just doing what I did again. Singing a song. When the red crimson sparrow comes.
Oh, that's Bob Boone, Robert Babbin, Robinson along.
That's all right. Challenge from Barry.
Hello. Sparrow is not synonymous with Robin.
Better than Titto.
That was fun. That's almost all we've got time for, though. There's just enough time for a round of Undertaker's Songbook. So, teams, while Samantha slips out into the audience to check for signs of life, I'd like you please to suggest some song titles or first lines likely to be popular with an audience of Undertakers.
Okay. Champion the Wonder Hearse.
Okay, you start, Barry.
He always said he'd be late for his own funeral.
Ditto. Wop bapalupalapalum embalm.
Ah, that's like some embalming evening. You may stuff a stranger.
You're the cream in my coffin.
I'm getting buried in the morning.
Oh, she wore an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot winding sheet.
Top hat and nails.
Oh dear. I dig it my way.
Tie a yellow ribbon round the cemetery.
I can't get no putrefaction by the roll.
The old Engelbert, please deep freeze me.
Well, you're just my jack in a box.
Where have all the flowers gone?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as the Rock of Ages is cleft in twain by the karate chop of fate, I notice it has Souvenir of Watford written all the way through it. Probably means the time's come to say goodbye. So from Samantha, the teams and myself, goodbye.
Timbrook Taylor, Barry Cryer, Graham Garden and Willie Rushton have been given Silly Things to Do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.